Welcome to another edition of Through Science to Health with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Lynn Sorensen, RN, retired. Soon, well, has come out of retirement for a stint on the vaccination line. She'll tell us about that today. She's a public health advocate and both a member of KPTZ's virus watch team as well as our emergency response team. Well, we're here on alternate Fridays at noon. We get together to bring you discussion and updates surrounding the pandemic and COVID-19. Welcome, Lynn Sorensen. Let me get you on the air here. Okay, there you go. You should be there.
I hope I am.
You are.
Actually in the studio. This is a new experience because usually Chris just calls me at home on my phone and we do it that way. But now it's safe since we're vaccinated to come indoors into the studio and be a real radio announcer.
Yeah, and it's so good to see you sitting across from me instead of imagining you sitting here on the phone, so or Zooming or whatever we might be happening to do. Well, usually we start everything out with a little bit of a recap, so let me do that, and then we'll go into we have some important changes locally with Dr. Locke and some of his recent directives, and we'll get into that, plus a number of other things. But first of all, we want to let you know that as far as the region is concerned, Seattle area businesses are playing it safe, and the CDC and Inslee relaxed mask requirements for people who are fully vaccinated, like gently ripping the Band-Aid off, as one company had put it. All in all, stores are bracing for more confusion, and that's to be expected. The way things got laid out, there's a bit of confusion out there, and Lynn will talk about that as well. King County's health officer is encouraging folks to continue to wear masks indoors in public places. A number of big retailers are relaxing requirements for fully vaccinated people. It's the honor system. Unfortunately, that only goes so far with some folks. Other stores are opting for a cautious approach for the next 4 weeks or so. And it seems like that's the magic number, maybe another 4 weeks to put ourselves in a position where we can safely demask, as they say. We need to think about children and those with weakened immune systems who may be at risk, and we ought to have respect for and avoid shaming people who opt to keep their masks on during this period of confusion. There are some people that just plain may have become attached to their masks in one way or another psychologically, but you know, we'll get out of this. It's just a matter of climbing this out as gently as we possibly can. Yesterday, Washington reported 940 new coronavirus cases and 17 new deaths, and that brings the state's totals to 425,848 cases with 5,690 deaths. 23,478 people have been hospitalized in the state due to the virus, and there have been 50 new hospitalizations. Seattle-Alaska cruises will start back up in July, says Holland America Line, with no stops in Canada. In Osaka, Japan's third largest city, cases are surging, and every corner of the medical system is stretched, slowed, and burdened to the verge of collapse. So they're still trying to work through something very, very difficult. Keep in mind, though, that that's about a 2.5-hour bullet train ride from Tokyo, which is going to be supposedly the home of the Summer Olympics. So I think they have some decisions to make there. What else here? Oh, European policymakers struck a deal on Thursday to sweep away travel barriers among European countries through a digital certificate system. Airfares are rising, middle seats are full, and change fees are back. There are no more waivers of those change fees now that the U.S. cases are dropping. And on a bright note, in Detroit, a nonprofit organization is dedicated to assisting those with developmental disabilities to get vaccinated through community vaccination clinics. And I think that's happening in a similar fashion throughout the nation, but that's really good because a lot of people with developmental disabilities can't communicate. And it's important to make sure that we have them on the map for vaccination purposes. So, Lynn Sorensen,
yes.
What's happening locally here?
Well, in Jefferson County, we're at 412 positive cases since last March. And I don't think we've had any new cases over the last several days, maybe even 4 days. And I don't know if, I don't think we've gotten the word today if there's any new cases. But according to Dr. Locke, and this is from the 17th of May, his update, he says, he talked about the governor's plan to end the restrictions by the end of June, and hopeful that 70% of Washington residents will have had their first dose anyway of vaccine. But that he could step back and continue our restrictions if the ICU capacity gets to over 90% full statewide. And I know that they've run in the low to mid 80s already. So that's a possibility. And they also talked about that the governor will probably have to change some of the proclamations that they made early on in the pandemic. But he says you've got to consider that, you know, the masking mandates are state and local, and what the feds do is not a mandate for us here. But he has come out with a directive as of the 17th of May that, you know, he's saying we still have serious ongoing challenges and high exposure risk in the state as well. And the low vaccination rates in many areas of the state puts that population at risk. So we have a lot of vaccinated people, and he's saying no masking is needed out of doors, but still going into businesses, still going to have facial coverings required. And even though the CDC came out with some rather sweeping and unexpected announcements on the 13th of May, it just kind of threw, I would say, everybody into some confusion. But the local directive that Dr. Locke has put out for Jefferson County is what essentially is the law here. And there is a four-page document that's on the Jefferson County website that goes through all the steps, and that he was saying that the unvaccinated individuals congregating without masks in indoor spaces poses an unacceptable risk of increased transmission between those who are infected and those who are susceptible to this infection. So going into businesses, masks are still required, and that we have to abide by that. And I know that there's no criminal. I mean, yes, I guess there could be some criminal suits to this, but we're still in a place where it's very, you know, they were saying, the Washington state officials are saying that they're caught between applauding, you know, the optimism that comes with vaccination, but and also warning everyone who isn't vaccinated that it's still dangerous. So we can't be complacent about this. I can go on a little bit more as far as, this was in the Washington Post this morning, that their unvaccinated seniors in Washington State are 11 times as likely to be hospitalized than seniors who got the vaccination. But for those 45 to 64 years old, the chance of hospitalization is 18 times higher. So wear your mask, people. And we don't want the pandemic to continue. And the clusters of, say, the unmasked, the people that say we're not going to get vaccinated, we're not going to wear a mask, we're not washing our hands, those groups socializing together are keeping, you know, they could have outbreaks within those clusters, and that can keep the pandemic going longer than it needs to.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because it would keep the numbers going, but in more of a concentrated fashion, you know, within certain clusters of population. So it's self-defeating, it would seem to me, for people not to be at least following these directives for a little bit longer, right?
True.
I think the word is maybe another 4 weeks is what we need, or another month is what we need to really make sure that we're somewhat out of the...
Yeah, there's no real end game to this.
Yeah.
And I just heard on the radio just before I came down here that Fauci was saying that there likely will be booster shots for COVID-19 vaccinations probably within the year. And so it's going to be like a flu shot. We're going to continue to need to have that, our immune systems boosted to keep fighting it. And another thing within Jefferson County here, Dr. Locke mentioned that there had been 5 known breakthrough infections. Now, these are folks that have had both vaccinations and had very mild symptoms and got tested and show that they do show positive for COVID-19, but that the viral loads when they did a blood check were low, but not zero. So again, it's a low risk of passing it on to someone else. But he also said that there's an advantage in that this would improve their immunity if they hadn't gotten enough immunity from the actual vaccines, that having this low-level infection also would improve, you know, bump their immune system. So I would say you don't need to try that at home. You know,
that's right.
Get your vaccinations. But again, any symptoms should be checked. And while there's probably less and less people getting checked these days, still recommended so that we can get, again, kind of see towards an end to the pandemic.
Living with the virus is going to be de rigueur, just like the flu, booster shots and everything else. And it's just something that is upon us and probably just won't squeak away down the drain at any point. Dr. Locke's directive that just came out, after you get through all of the whereases,
yeah,
and down to the nitty-gritty, there's one part in here where the heavy suggestion that that the masking be not only respected but also within our county, at least, that the shops and the stores and other public places, concentrations of people where there are a mixture of unvaccinated and vaccinated people, that a mask would be a good thing to do. Let's talk about masks. I know we've done this before.
Like every time.
Like every time. But it's important, I think. One of the things that was pointed out in Dr. Locke's directives was that an approved face covering is something that we need to remember. Synthetic fabric surgical masks that are, you know, procedural masks, cloth face masks, high efficiency particulate masks like N95 or KN95. But one thing, if you're going to use bandanas or a gaiter or something like that, they're discouraged. But if you use them, you have to have at least 2 layers of fabric, and light should not be visible through the mask in order for them to be effective. So that's important, I think, for people to remember.
And to wash them on occasion, too.
Yeah, that would help as well.
Sometimes you see masks that look like they've been worn for way too long. So again, we're just asking people to cover their nose and mouth and wear them when they go indoors in public places. And it's hasn't changed. Hand washing is still advised. And maybe, you know, when we come around to just having a flu season again, people will wear masks and wash their hands more, too. And, you know, we could prevent maybe colds and flu transmission like we did this past winter when none of us, pretty much none of us got it.
I didn't get a cold. I didn't get the flu. Yeah, it was that was a delight.
Yeah, and the vaccination clinics are ongoing, and I'm working one tomorrow out at Chimicum. And but we're seeing that, you know, it's the demand has dropped off. Jefferson Healthcare is going to be sunsetting their big drive-through vaccination line, and they still have a couple of second dose clinics to do, and then they'll probably have some clinics for the 12 to 15 year olds that need that. But the Department of Emergency Management and Public Health will be working together to continue seeking out smaller populations to get vaccinated. And you know, we're not sure why people are not coming in, but there are now some incentives. Then I heard this morning that in New York, the governor has said, you know, the state vaccination clinics will be offering you a lottery ticket that could be worth up to $5 million if you come in and complete your vaccine series. And, you know, there's other places where bars are set up with the vaccinators there and, you know, a shot for a shot. And
there is a shot in a beer.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we have to get creative to bring more people into this. And I'm not sure that I'm going to be vaccinating people in bars, but come out to Chimicum tomorrow afternoon because it's walk-ins for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine from 1 to 2:30 out there at the multipurpose room on the Chimicum campus.
Well, you never know, Lynn. It just might see you down at the local
down at the poorhouse vending.
But I think we have a couple of minutes left. Are there any anecdotes or experientially that you had when you this is your fifth vaccination clinic?
This will be my sixth.
Oh, your sixth.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just really interesting. People are very appreciative that come in there. And so they, you know, because it's all volunteers out there, and we have doctors and nurses and people from, we have dental hygienists and others that volunteer their time. And then the health department, the nurses are the ones that draw up the vaccines. And so we just, the rest of us just give it. We retired and people. But it's been fun. It's a great camaraderie out there.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thanks to all of our healthcare professionals that have been out there getting this done. Thank you so much. We want to take just a second to remind you that KPTZ has finished its fund drive as of yesterday. It's week-long birthday celebration. But we're still... We just busted over 90% of our goal during our program here today. And if you have an interest in supporting KPTZ and our move to Fort Worden and our day-to-day operation is going to help us keep the lights on and the equipment running, then feel free to donate at kptz.org. There's a donate button and it's really easy to use. So take a moment after the broadcast here and do that. We want to thank Jess, Susan, Jim, and Catherine for our recent donations, and Chris. And we shall see you next week. This has been another edition of Through Science to Health with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Lynn Sorensen, as we come out of retirement, as she has come out of retirement for a stint on the vaccination lines. We want to thank you so much, Lynn.
Well, thanks for having me, Chris.
All right.
And here we go.
Until next time, this has been Through Science to Health. Stay tuned for a community calendar.